Welcome to the first edition of the 2026 season slash spring training episode of the Big Pod Machine, which with Pat Brennan, Gordon Whitmeyer, our producer Phil Didion,
working remotely,
about 1,000 miles from here, 2,000.
Is that all? Yeah. There you go.
Pat, tell us about the podcast.
Gordon. This episode?
No, the podcast is the best podcast in the world.
Oh, well, geez. It's people, our loyal followers know that already.
We know that.
But we're here in Goodyear where there's activity. Not a ton of players yet.
Well, we saw somebody mowing the lawn, and somebody else just pulled up to do something. So things are happening on the ground in Goodyear, Arizona, where the Reds have been holding informal practices. Most of the guys are in camp, we're told. And things start up in earnest in the next day or two.
Yeah.
Pitchers and catchers reporting on what? Monday, right?
Yeah.
And then we get physicals and first workout on Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah. So the clubbies and the grounds crew are kind of the main folks at work here now.
And we saw brand new pitching machines.
And I would say there's a great deal of excitement around those pitching machines.
Yeah, because
they look beautiful.
Maybe they'll help the hitters. They're going to really work on hitting.
Are you really ready to lob criticism already?
Man, you saw those guys try to score runs last year.
A mitt has not popped yet. The crackle of spikes on cement has not occurred here yet, and you're already criticizing.
That's all I got. I got what I saw last year.
You're right, though, about last year, and the Reds think they might have a fix for that.
Right? Like, you got to admit, the town is just buzzing like crazy the last week or so with the Gino Suarez return, right?
Yeah. Gordon, I was in town when it happened. Gino came to the ballpark to do some media obligations around his one-year contract for $15 million that the Reds pulled off with him. And
after ownership actually extended the budget. Crappy budget to begin with, but hey. Give them credit where credit's due. They extended the budget and got the hitter they needed.
So I want to quickly, before we quickly talk about what we think that means, could mean, we're in spring training after all, we got a long way to go. What that could mean for the 26 Reds, getting back to what you said, the excitement, even in freezing cold Cincinnati, where you're just, if you even dare to venture outside, you're not seeing a lot of people. You can really sense the excitement in town because I think, Reds fans are smart. And there's a recognition here that this Gino Suarez signing, for all the disappointment around missing out on Kyle Schwarber, you may have gotten a player that is in some ways a better fit for this Reds organization. He's not Kyle Schwarber. I'm not saying that, but it's a good player and one that can not only hopefully produce offensively, but unlock, probably more importantly, unlock other spaces in what we think is going to be the lineup.
I mean, look, let's start with this premise. Nobody was going to be a better fit than Kyle Schwarber if you could have landed him. I mean, the guy hits home runs by the thousands of feet, and
he does.
And he would have been a threat to hit 60. Dusty Baker said he would have hit 70 at Great American Ballpark. Now, obviously, that's nice and fun talk.
Yeah.
But this guy is the perfect power hitter. He's a left-handed monster in the middle of any order. Or
you're talking about Gino now.
No, I'm talking about Schwarber.
Okay.
Why Schwarber's the best fit near the top of the order? And being the hometown guy from Middletown, you were going to sell a lot of tickets if you put this guy in a Reds uniform.
Yeah, T-shirts and jerseys.
And the storyline, you couldn't get better than the guy coming home to take this team to the next step. So I just want to say, for the record, nobody was a better fit for this lineup, this team this year, than Kyle Schwarber. However, if there was a 1B to that 1A, this is it. I mean,
and there were more expensive players out there they could have potentially gone after to do this job that they're going to charge Gino Suarez with. And I think he is one of the better players to do that job. Gordon, what What do we think that job is?
Look, you want to know, this is how long it's been since they had a player hit 30 home runs. The last time it happened, Gino Suarez was a Red before he got traded.
He was one of three guys to do it. So, along with Joey Votto and Nick Castellanos.
And that's what's been missing these last couple of years. Look, last year they had one of the top, two pitching starting rotations in the National League.
Excellent.
They had a good enough bullpen, and they had some team speed, some athleticism. Yeah. Defensively, they were suspect, but they improved quite a bit at the trade deadline with Cabrian Hayes.
Yeah.
And Noelvi Marte helped stabilize some things by moving to right field. They were adequate enough defensively. The one thing they missed was a slugger in the middle of the order. When Austin Hayes was healthy and raking last year, the difference he made, those two stretches where he was kind of in a beast mode.
It was huge.
It was huge what he did for Ellie, what he did for the lineup. Yeah. Look, they finished with a below average lineup last year, below league average in home runs, slugging, and runs per game.
Yeah.
They play in the best hitter's park in the game. That's not supposed to happen. You're supposed to show up and be better than average.
Yeah.
So what he... The potential for what he can do as one guy in one lineup is really hard to overstate if he were to stay healthy and just stay right behind Ellie in the lineup.
And again, spring training is beginning in earnest. Guys have to stay healthy. All these things are projections on paper right now.
Is that Nick Craw getting on a bicycle? Is that Nick?
Could be. I don't know. A lot of the Reds higher-ups have been bopping around the last few days here in Goodyear. Guys are starting to get into town. I understand there was a plane ride early this morning that departed from CVG with a large...
This is Sunday as we take.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. A large Reg contingent.
Super Bowl Sunday. Sorry about the Eagles.
I'm not.
I'm
not. They won two Super Bowls in the last 7 years. Anyway... you completely made me lose my train of thought, so you could get your hat.
Yeah, you deserve it.
Well, say something.
Look, we were talking about this earlier. When it comes to Suarez in this lineup, I think that the day before they made the signing, we were probably talking, and we've talked a lot in the offseason about where this team is and what it looks like going forward. We were probably looking at, honestly, you could have probably project these guys, and I think one of the projection models did this. Between 75 and 80 wins.
That's
a losing team.
At Reds Fest, one of the Reds players asked me what I thought of the team and where the kind of soft spots were in the team. And I mentioned power. That person affirmed that they thought that was a concern. And record-wise, I said I feel like this is a 78-80 win team.
There you go.
And I didn't get a lot of pushback from that player on that. But now... with Gino Suarez, it's not always a great way to go about projecting things by just thinking, okay, if Suarez was in this Reds team last year, and what a thing that would have been.
But you looked this number up.
Yeah. I mean, Baseball Savant had the stat that if Gino Suarez had played his home games at Great American Ballpark, he went for 49 home runs last year between the Diamondbacks. And then after he was kind of the great prize at the trade deadline and acquired by the Mariners, he went for 49 home runs and then hit actually three in the postseason, which I think are worth mentioning. He would have hit 54 home runs if his home games had been at Great American Ballpark last year, which would have been...
a franchise record breaking George Foster's 1977 mark of 52.
So that's exciting.
Why do you point at the old guy for that historical fact?
You were touting
it.
You were touting it.
Yeah, no,
George
it's
Foster is one of your contemporaries.
So here's the thing. If we were looking at a 75 to 80 win team before the Suarez signing, I think it's legit to suggest it might be an 85 to 90 win team. If he stays healthy, if he's in the middle of that lineup all season long. And look, he hit 49 home runs last year.
He doesn't have to hit
49 home runs. If he hits 30, which is what? 60% of what he did last year.
I think.
And hits 220, it's enough of a presence in the lineup to make an impact make the guys around him better.
I think Ellie was the team leader in home runs last year with 22, right? I think Gino could hit 25 or 27 home runs and be enough to push this team over the top. But and this is all assuming Gino takes a step back.
I mean that's a problem. If he plays 150 something games and he hits 25 home runs, there's something wrong.
Okay, but
he's probably
hitting
.150.
We're trying to think about everyone. I love
he probably sets a career high in strikeouts.
I do love to talk about the wild card because in modern baseball, you know, people want think the salary cap is going to be the answer in the next few years for teams that don't spend. I think there's already a good answer in terms of competition and attainable success for lower spending, smaller market teams in the current playoff format where you have three wild cards. Historically, Gordon, that third wild card has been very, very attainable. Last year was the most attainable it had ever been, with the Reds earning it at four games over 500, 83-79. That was the worst record of any wild card qualifier. And at some point, we'll probably see
it. Well, we've seen, I mean, you bet the 70s and there was an 82 win.
I'm talking about
division champion. There was an 83 win playoff qualifier a few years ago. I mean, it happens. But you're right. It was right there.
Yeah. So
for barely a winning record.
And historically, if you get into the upper 80s in wins, you're really in a good position. I won't say a lot, but you're in a really, really good position. Even if in a year like in 22, when total anomaly, you had the Reds and Mets both win 100 games in the NL East.
Right.
So you had a 100-win wild card team. That third wild card is still attainable. And I think it's always going to be there. And now, basically, I think you and I are both in agreement. Gino has the potential with what he does himself and can the knock-on effect to the rest of this Reds lineup, I think, could push them into a place where maybe you don't go into the last series of the year fighting for your lives to get that playoff spot, as was the case in 25.
Hey, man.
So it's a great thing.
I think for its singular impact on his team, it's the biggest move anybody made in the division. And this is a division that the Cubs were very aggressive. The Pirates signed some bats. And Milwaukee traded maybe the best pitcher in the division.
I think so.
Or one of the top couple of pitchers in the division.
In the league, really.
In the league, Freddie Peralta, which was a huge move for the division and its impact potentially on the division.
Yeah.
And yet I think the Suarez move is bigger than those just because of the impact. Again, he doesn't augment something that they had. He doesn't add a starting pitcher to an already good starting staff. Or a good leverage bullpen guy, you know. This is a middle of the order bat, the single biggest deficit that they had last year that might have prevented them from winning closer to 90 games. And so a lot still has to happen. And you still have to get the pitching performances that you expect.
Yeah.
You still have to catch the ball. You still have to have Ellie De La Cruz stay healthy, not play 162 games, but stay healthy.
Yeah.
Things have to
I
go
also
your
want
way.
To say, just on the idea of Gino Suarez regressing to any degree, I should say that, you know, we're just thinking in terms of what he could offer in a worst case scenario for him.
Right.
He has a great history. I think I talked about on the phone with you the other day. He is has a long history of being a healthy player, has not missed significant time in recent years, going back to pre-pandemic times. So this is a guy who just finds a way to stay healthy. Some guys just have that knack, you know?
And he's not going to be asked to play much in the field.
Right.
Primarily a DH.
Yeah, this isn't a guy who's going to be running through the wall a lot of the time.
And if he is, he's probably at first base.
Banging into players.
Yeah,
right. So there's excitement around that here at Red. We expect there will be excitement around that. Gordon, what else strikes you about Reds camp this year?
Let me just throw one more point on the Suarez thing. When we talk about this ability to play every day, it's hard to overstate that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he plays 150 games, I would be shocked if he doesn't hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
In that ballpark that's familiar to him, in a comfort zone of a culture, a place, a team, he came back. By the way, one of the reasons he came back, Seattle wanted to bring him back big time. They love him. They were in to the end on him.
Not a hitter-friendly park.
Not exactly a hitter-friendly park. He might have enjoyed the city and the teammates. I don't think he enjoyed. And the playoff run, no doubt. I don't think he enjoyed hitting in that ballpark very much. And this is where
the numbers kind of show that.
I think you're going to see a nice, free and easy, relaxed, competitive Gino Suarez, barring something like incredibly unforeseen, because I don't think his body's going to be stressed like some other players. He should play a lot of games.
Yeah, so Gino Suarez, the Reds' biggest addition of the offseason, comes right in the days leading up to spring training. So there's momentum. It feels like they have momentum already, doesn't it?
I think that if last year the hiring of Terry Francona created a buzz and sent in terms of like they're taking this shit seriously.
Yeah.
That there's an urgency organizationally to get things done. If that's what that represented, and then we see the playoffs, the making the playoffs, and then we see this signing and extending the budget to make this signing, I think this is a sign of, if that was urgency, this is real expectations.
Yeah.
This is real competitive, contending expectations.
And that is a good thing. Because for a while this offseason, look, there are a lot of people who try to explain away the Reds' playoff berth from last year. The Mets' latest collapse certainly played a role in it.
They got a knack.
Yeah. But regardless of how they got there, there was a hope and an expectation among fans.
This is spring training.
We've got a lawnmower convention going on in the background here.
No, this is terrific. They're getting ready.
Do you want to give us some thoughts? Do you want to get the lawnmower? Do you want to get the grounds crew involved? They're already involved, aren't they?
He's doing a nice job.
I wonder if they have any thoughts.
I think if we bring them up here, they're going to make us mow the lawn.
Yeah, right. But where was I?
I don't know. You were talking about Gino.
Again? Still?
Yeah. We were talking about expectations this year.
Yeah. I think it's a really healthy thing. Look, the way the offseason was trending, and the Reds were making some good moves. I like what they did with the bullpen.
They brought back the closer is the Gordon. Guy that they
went into the
that they shoehorned
they
into the role last
they went
year,
into
which
the
is
off
great.
Season, they went into the offseason knowing they would have to rebuild the bullpen.
Pierce Johnson's a nice underrated signing.
I think they have as good, if not a better, bullpen today.
I agree. I agree with that.
So that's good.
That's good, and they already had the starting rotation. And by the way, you got Rhett Lauder, who missed all season last year. And you got Chase Burns.
Who could figure into that bullpen.
Who looked pretty good in a debut last year. And now those two guys are going to get a shot to earn a starting rotation spot. And the upside on those guys is. I mean, who knows where their ceilings are. We haven't even come close to seeing what that is.
So tell me how bad it all is.
What the hell are you talking about?
You were just getting ready to dump on their offseason.
Yeah, the offseason was horrible. Until the Suarez thing. And not because of the... I think the front office did what they could. They had no damn budget. They had no budget. They traded
true.
Gavin Lux to create $3 million of flexibility. And that was, in as much as anything, to get Pierce Johnson signed.
Yeah.
And you got Caleb Ferguson, a nice lefty. You needed lefties. Good. But I mean, like last year, they brought in Hayes and Barlow and Taylor Rogers for whatever you might think of any of those guys. They brought all these guys in toward the end of the offseason, and they all contributed to some degree.
Yeah.
They're all gone. So you backfilled. I think they backfilled in the bullpen in a way that makes the bullpen, on paper, better than it was a year ago. The starting rotation, as we said, has a chance.
Very good.
That lineup is a question. The defense in spots remains kind of a question mark, but what the one big thing they needed to do, I mean, Nick Kroll will tell you that building the bullpen was a high priority. Cool, they did. Whatever. You can do that. You can do that on a shoestring budget to some extent. The one thing they need to do is get a real legitimate power threat, a veteran guy, somebody, a run producer for the middle of the order, a protector, something. And they did it. And they did it in a pretty big way.
No, I didn't realize. I didn't want to continue talking about Gino. But what that signing has done is kind of validated, I think, cries from a lot of corners of the fan base that wanted to seize they wanted to get excited about a Reds team that just made the playoffs and at times against the Dodgers did some interesting things. Obviously, yeah, they were swept out of the wild card round, but I went back and rewatched that series.
Oh, wait, you talking about did some interesting things in the series?
Yeah.
That ain't shit in the series.
Okay.
They fell way behind and started scoring runs when the Dodgers got healthy on the Reds in the postseason. The Dodgers figured out their bullpen because of the Reds. They shuttled in guys to face them with big leads and found out who they could trust and who they couldn't. And that carried the Dodgers through the rest of the postseason. The Reds were their guinea pigs. So I give the Reds credit for not laying down and for fighting, but they were never in that series.
I think they gave a good account of themselves for what the Reds are against the team that they were up against.
For what the Reds are? You mean a team that couldn't score runs?
You're really in mid-season form here on February 8th. Look, there are high expectations for the Reds. The fans deserve
legitimate
that.
Legitimate expectations. I'm anxious to see what this team does.
Who are you anxious to see?
In the season?
Individually. Well, here in the spring.
That's a great question. Like, you know, we probably...
21 minutes?
Yeah, so...
Dude... Have to crop that out now.
Yeah, you're always watching the clock, man. You know, this is baseball. There is no clock.
You looked at the clock.
You didn't know what I was looking at.
What else would you have been looking at?
Ah, shit. All right, look. We probably should wrap up, seeing as how guy's almost done mowing the lawn. But hey, that is a great question. Like, what... Of all the things that we want to see or think that is worth watching in spring training,
yeah,
who do you want to see the most? Like, who do you want to watch the most, like, to see what happens with him?
Look, for people like you and me who are here on February 8th, there's a lot we want to watch, right? But
Super Bowl.
No, not the Super Bowl.
February 8th.
I think there's a lot of more useful things we could do with our time tonight, actually. But
you did it on your own.
Don't start. This will get ugly on Cincinnati.com.
Yeah, why don't you go?
Okay, just relax. I want to see Matt McClain. I don't know if it's a show me season for Matt McClain, a prove it season, however you want to say it. It is that for Matt McClain. You know,
says that.
It's great to have prospects and to love guys that come up through your organization, but you can't hold them and hug them forever. And at some point, there's a point where the prospect and the promise of a young fan favorite...
You and Matt McClain got something going here?
No.
What, who are you hugging?
Is it possible for you to not interrupt? Right. My God.
Go ahead.
Is it May or July?
Finish your thought.
At some point, the player needs to live up to the expectations of their billing from when they were a prospect. Yeah. Otherwise, you look up at the end of this season, at the end of whenever the next baseball season is after that, not sure if there'll be one in 27.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, it's time for Matt McClain to go. It's time for him to go. And I think there's some pressure on him this spring training, which... is probably, would you think that's fair to say that that's a rarity in this clubhouse? Because there's always pressure in spring training, but you've brought back a lot of the guys from the playoff team. It feels like a lot of positions are settled, not that there won't be competition. It's kind of going to be like shuffling guys
around. Well, there'll
around.
Be like Spencer Steer, for instance.
Right,
we don't
right.
know where he's going to play.
Right, and he'll have to show that he can play a position effectively. But, you know, I just think Matt McClain is in total... prove it, show me mode, however you want to say it.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, we're not going to come out here and watch batting practice off a pitching machine and know that he's in a better spot right away. But I'm just going to be interested to track Matt McClain all of spring training here.
I think that's fair. Last year he came into camp and all you wanted to know was that he was healthy.
Yeah.
After missing all of 2024 with the shoulder. And once he proved he was healthy and moving around well at second base, you figured it'll all take care of itself. And what did we find out? We found out, I mean, he slumped big from the start, got knocked out of the top part of the order real quick.
Yeah.
and really never recovered. He had one little stretch where he seemed to get hot for about a month, but mostly he stayed in the lineup when he did because he was one of their better defenders.
Yeah.
And that won't keep him in the lineup this year.
No.
And so
no.
I think you're right. I think you're right. He's got to show that he's not just healthy, but that
any
lingering effects from that shoulder are behind him and that his swing is back in shape.
You know, I think it's one final note on Matt McClain. It's interesting that this time last year, we were interested to know that he was healthy. And then at the tail end of last season, there was this interesting kind of side note injected into the conversation around McClain about the actual timeline for a player returning to full health.
Well, I think that became kind of an excuse after
I
a while.
Agree.
Not I, for McClain, but for the organization.
I agree.
The organization was making that excuse.
Right, and I agree with you. But if that's the case, look, he's now in that time frame
where
they say, that's it. There's no excuses.
Yeah.
Matt's got to go.
You mean you're going to cut him already?
No, he's just, it's time to go.
It's go time.
It's go time.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I think that's
Where are you? How about you? How do you feel about an individual you're excited
to
watch?
Well, you know, the guy I want to see is Sal Stewart.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that really showed well for himself down the stretch last year, led the team in home runs in September, earned playing time in the playoffs and performed against the Dodgers in L.A. This guy's got a little bit of swag. And he's got, like, next to no big league experience, but try telling him that. I like his bat is electric. I mean, this is a guy that's got high ceiling on the bat.
Yeah.
Not necessarily so much with the glove, and we don't know where he'll play. But here's the thing. Like, signing Suarez takes the bulk of the DH away from whatever equation you might have with Steer and Sal Stewart and where you're going to get these guys playing time. But the other thing that the Suarez signing does for Sal Stewart is take the pressure off.
Yeah.
If this guy makes the roster, and I think a lot of people expect that, this is a bat that can lurk in the second part of the order, down there in the bottom third or so of the order, and just be a weapon with the pressure off a little bit. And who knows what he does. And if he grows into a big league role in some serious big league playing time, he could move his way up the lineup.
Can I say something about where he played positionally, defensively? You know, people talk about the glove work there.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like the Reds were hiding him in the places they were placing him in the field. So I think there's some upside there.
There's a lot of upside in the glove because he starts so low. Let's be honest.
Sure.
And I'm not knocking on the guy. I mean, it's just where you're at with some of the other players at these positions. Spencer Steer at first base was a Gold Glove finalist. It's a long drop down to Sal Stewart. But he's coming into camp in shape.
Yeah.
People saw him at the Reds Fest. And this guy was in shape. He's a hard worker. And if he puts in that work, I mean, Spencer Steer was no better than a work in progress.
Yeah.
Hadn't played first base to speak of, and became a Gold Glove finalist. Sal Stewart's a hard worker and in good shape. So maybe he becomes the regular first baseman and Steer moves around, get benefit out of all these bats.
Yeah. I would just, if I could say one thing about Sal Stewart, and maybe it's related to Gino being in this team, as much as I don't like the idea of prospect hugging and clinging to the idea of a player for too long, kind of like I talked about in the context of Matt McClain. I also don't like the idea of so much of what we hope the Reds to be, what fans hope the Reds to be in 26, hinging on a player with basically 5 weeks of major league experience. Not even.
If
there's a way where, look, I like Sal as a player. He's very impressive. There's no denying what he did in September, and he certainly did some positive things in effectively garbage time against the Dodgers in the wild card round. But those were the biggest moments of his career, and he fought through whatever nerves he had and produced in those spots. All great.
And this guy in July was playing in the minor league futures game.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I'm hesitant to put the burden of expectation on Sal Stewart at this point in his career.
That's the beauty of the signing.
I know. And I just, I would caution fans that, look, the team has a little bit of a luxury of time now with Sal. And that's not a bad thing if he's a bit player, if he's a bench hand.
If he's a bench guy, you got to stick him in AAA because this guy needs at-bats. I think if he makes this roster, and again, I expect him to, he's potentially one of the better bats on the team out of the chute.
Yeah.
And you got to get him at-bats.
But at the same time...
But you can rotate him.
Major league pitchers have seen him. Anyone, the NL Central certainly has had an offseason to analyze him and then will attack him in different ways.
No doubt. And that'll take care of itself. And if he has to go, if he starts in the big leagues and he goes back, so be it. But this guy is going to potentially be a big contributor to this team. But to your point, it's part of what makes the Suarez signing so great, because even if Sal Stewart is playing a lot, he's not going to have to be a Ellie protector.
Yeah.
He can just do his own thing at a different part of the order and get his feet wet in the big leagues for a longer stretch of time and grow into whatever he's going to become. That's the ideal thing for Sal Stewart. So Suarez makes the Sal Stewart transition ideal, and he also becomes the immediate protection for Ellie De La Cruz that we only saw at times with Andujar and Austin Hayes at times last year. Really, and consequently, Ellie De La Cruz saw as many or more breaking balls as anybody in the game last year. And that accounted for a lot of his struggles in addition to the quad. So, once again, full circle, right back to Suarez and all the buzz. There's good reason to have buzz about Eugenio Suarez.
So, listen.
Eugenio Gino Suarez.
So, I want to wind this down, and I think the groundskeepers are telling us we should, because... They're basically mowing. They're mowing the warning track at this point, which might be a signal. There's no grass. There's no grass to
mow. Mow this,
pal. Track. Yeah. So let's wrap up.
Work to do.
Let's wrap up this lawnmower convention. We smell like grass shavings now, but the Reds are going to get going here in a couple days, and we're going to have coverage wall to wall.
We'll be here every day,
every single day,
and we'll be back at you. On the big pod machine every week. And this guy, this lawnmower guy.
Low on my spring training power rankings list right now.
This guy's getting cut. First cuts in camp. Hey, well, that'll do it for us, man. Hey, great to be back with you for another season.
Great to be back with you. We're really excited to be down here early. This is a joke at this point. Let's sign off.
All right. Hey, till next week, thanks for joining us. Download the best podcast in the world, Big Pod Machine. Talk to you next week.